Welcome to Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals from Elevate Coaching at Guild Mortgage. Hosted by Coach P, top producer, vice president of Elevate, and national coach, each episode is a playbook for success. You'll hear from top producers and industry leaders as they share the moves, mindset shifts, and lessons that shaped their growth, both at work and in life. Elevate your business. Making the moves that matter.
On today's playbook, we're joined by Barry Horn, Executive Vice President and Growth Champion at Guild Mortgage. A visionary leader who is well known in the industry, Barry is the founder of Guild's Elevate Coaching Program and known for his people-first approach. He's passionate about developing leaders, strengthening culture, and sparking curiosity that drives meaningful, long-term growth. Barry's story is one about staying relevant, building unity through trust, and creating a long-lasting legacy.
Elevate your business, starting now.
All right. We've got Mr. Barry Horn here today on our Elevate podcast. He is our EP Growth Champion of Guild Mortgage. When I think of Barry, he's a visionary leader, he's a lifelong learner, and he's dedicated to growth and culture. You know, known for people-first approach, Barry champions sustainable success by developing leaders, fostering curiosity, and building organizations that last. And he's one of my good friends. So welcome, Barry.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Paula. Good to see you, as always. Every time I talk to you, you make my day. So, you know, call every day.
Well, you make my day too. So let's get going here. So I want to know, what does playing the long game mean to you as a leader?
Well, first, I would say, you know, Paula, the game of life is long term. I mean, it isn't just business is long term. Life is long term. And I think the decisions we make, you know, should be long term because it's a long journey. If I decided every day how I feel or everything in business and let that be my guide, I wouldn't be that successful. So I think when you're long term, to me as a leader, it means that I have to have a long-term vision. It means that most of my decisions that I make should be long-term. And when you do that, it makes you want to develop people and put in processes that last a long time. And it wants you to build a culture that's surviving. And so I think every leader is a long-term thinker. We always have short-term things we have to do, but I think the more we can train ourselves, that isn't about today's circumstance, it just isn't. You know, and you take a long-term approach to life and friendship and everything we have, that's, to me, has been one of the keys that I've tried to do over my career.
So speaking of long-term, we've been on this journey with Elevate. This was your vision that we started about 2017. And talk to us about that. Like, where did that come from you? Why did you think this was important for Guild?
I'm an Elevate fanatic. I really am. I mean, I believe in coaching. I want to endorse it. I want to do everything I can to do it. Let me tell you how the journey began. When I first got into the mortgage business in 2000, I was coached by Building Champions. So Daniel Harkavy, who's, you know, great guy and, you know, became my coach. And I saw for the first time the importance of having somebody to talk to and relate to, and where I didn't have to self-talk myself into everything, that somebody could say, hey, Barry, what about this? They'd ask good questions and things like that. So when I came into Guild, and we started Guild in 2008, or, you know, when I entered Guild 2008, I'd travel around, and man, I'll tell you, I found more good ideas and more things, and I really began to see the effect on coaching. I believe in my heart that everybody should have a coach. Maybe more than one, as an example. I certainly have more than one. So what I did is what I believed in, that I wanted to have a big differentiation for Guild, and I wanted that to be coaching. I wanted us to be the most coached company in the mortgage industry. I wanted every single person at Guild to be coached. And so we began a journey. And we started to implement that thing. We had some outside coaching. That didn't work because we were coaching, you know, we weren't coaching to the Guild way. So we decided then to kind of bring it inside and really set the accelerate on it and really make it happen. So I just am a fanatic about that. I think it's changed Gil. When you look back someday on Gil, I would think that coaching was a major differentiator, was a major strategy of ours. You need a lot of good things to run a good mortgage company, but man, coaching is at the center of everything. And so I began to do that, began to promote it, and to this day, I do it. I just think it's the only way. If you're not coached, you got to ask yourself, why am I not coached? Why wouldn't I want somebody to help me build my business and strengthen my business and help me as a person? So that's kind of my thought as I began the coaching.
So what do you hope, what do you want the legacy to be from Elevate?
I think we're still on a journey with coaching. I mean, I don't think there's anybody at Guild who doesn't recognize how coaching has impacted us. Look at the numbers. Look at the statistics. I mean, we don't make this stuff up. People who coach sell more business, sell bigger percentage of purchase. They're better at it. You get new ideas. I would hope that someday Elevate coaching spreads throughout Guild. Whereas if you join Guild, what I'd like to see, just me, I'd like to see everybody, when you join Guild, you join Guild plus coaching. In other words, it's there. And we want you to do it, at least for the first year or something like that. We want you to get a taste of the experience of that. So I would like to think that because of coaching, it made a huge difference. It strengthened people. It made them more money. They lasted longer. They stayed longer. They were happier. And man, what a great thing if I do my next thing in life and I do things like that, I'd want to look back and say, because of coaching, it was the main strategy at Guild and people prospered. They felt good about themselves and the coaches felt better. And I would like to leave a legacy of coaching. I'd like to see it never disappear. I'd like to see it get bigger and better and faster. And everybody embrace it. And I think that's happening in Guild right today. I mean, there's no question in my mind.
Yeah, it's been growing. And when you think of how long Guild's been around, you know, over 60 years, can you imagine if we were around another 60 years and Elevate Coaching was still going on, just like Guild has been for 60 years?
You know, when we used to go out and do some acquisitions and I was working there and we did a lot of acquisitions, I'd have people, Paula, listen in and just say, hey, look, let me send you a call. You just listen in. And I'll tell you, people were blown away, Paula, about, you know, the creativity our people have, the ingenuity, the good ideas and the new things they put out there. It's like a pull. It's like the AI of coaching, right? Everything that's been done, one and done, tried and things like that is in this depository, right? In Guild. And all we need to do is spread that to every Guild person. I mean, there's not too many things that we haven't done or you haven't done in coaching, all the way from who you call, what you say, what you do, how you implement, what's your process, how you hire. I mean, it's like the world of all things tied into A and one, and it's available to everybody. And what, you know, is that amazing? I mean, there's nobody has anything like that. And we're building it.
Yeah, and coaching and helping people adopt the new technology, because our industry is always going to change, right?
So 100%.
It gets them involved. And I also think, like, recently over the last 3 years, you know, it's been a difficult time in the market. And having people around you that want to continue to grow through those challenges has really helped people stay in the business.
Yeah, it's just built that community, right? That said, hey, we're all in this together. How can we roll up sleeves and help each other? Hey, did you try something? Hey, here's what I did. Hey, you try it and things like that. And I think that's just kind of spread all over Guild. And I think the people who've been coached will tell you that. And certainly I'm preaching to the choir here with you because you've lived your life on coach. You've been a lifelong coach all your life. Basketball, what's the difference between coaching in a sport or coaching and things like that and coaching what we do? All the pro athletes have coaches. All the golfers, they have. Why would they do that? Because they can get better and consistently better and have more fun at it. And I think that's what we're demonstrating in Guild. I'm very pleased with what you guys have done and what we started. I just want to make it bigger. You know, I just want to make it better. I want everybody to taste it. You know what I mean? Yep. If you opt out of it at some point in time, you know, then that's something you could do. But I'd love someday to have a company where everybody who entered in would go into an automatic coaching for a year. And then you can make a judgment of whether, you know, you helped you and things like that.
I love it. I love that idea. You know, the other thing that I love about you is you're always learning, always, right? We have great conversations about different things. But what's something you've learned recently that's changed your thinking?
You know, I stumbled upon the internet, an AI course. They have these like macro learning, you know, these things. Yeah. And they take you through a journey of AI. And they're like 20-minute segments. I'm telling you, it's like unbelievable what that's done to me. I mean, I have seen more and learned more, and it's changed the way I act and what I lick, how I research things. I mean, I'll tell you, once you go through AI, and everybody should do that. I mean, there's like this one particular site, and there's like 25 lessons, right? So you get on there and you just kind of go through lesson one. They take you through, you know, as a learner, and I'm halfway through it. And Paula, and by the way, if I get to the end, it'll probably be time to go back to the beginning because it's moving so fast. But boy, has that changed my life about how I look at things, how I research things. I mean, I don't know about you, Paula, but there's not many things I don't go research on AI these days. I mean, what do you say about it? And again, that's the collective thinking of everybody on this subject. And boy, is that changing me and how I think. It's propelled me into really being more excited about the future and what I want to do, where I want to go, and all that thing. And it's been just a fun deal. And, you know, feel very, very, you know, I just saw yesterday we announced, you know, kind of new updated version of that. But I'm sure I know you use it. I know everybody uses, but boy, is that changing our lives. And is it fun, huh?
You know, I think for me, AI has helped me get into action much faster because, you know, we've been talking about doing micro classes to get to the consumer first and different topics. You know, how can we attract people? And I was able to go in there and create like 6 classes like in less than 5 minutes by just prompting it. So by doing that, you get your idea really going quickly so that you can implement it fast.
Yeah. You know, Paula, I do a lot of coaching for young business guys in the Seattle area. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. A lot of people, and I have some groups, and I tell all these business guys. I just met with a guy the other day, and I said, "Look, when you get into AI and you keep asking it questions and putting, it'll learn your company. It will become your company. In other words, you know, I know I'm saying this to the preaching of the choir, but it will learn about you and how you think and how your business thinks, and you'll have a machine. If you keep plowing and asking it questions and going, it will learn about your business. So the next time you go in, it has this database of what you've asked it and what answers it gives you. And it's like your consultant.
Yeah, you know like what I mean? Personal coach. Your consultant.
And you know, I don't know. I think, Paula, at the end of the day, it stimulates. Didn't it make you excited? Well, I mean, it makes me excited about life and what I'm learning and what I'm doing and things like that. I think it's the greatest thing that we've ever had happen, and it's only going to get better, and it's just fun. I mean, sometimes I just go into AI on fun things. I'm sure you do things like that.
I know, like I sit there and I go, I don't even really watch TV anymore because I'm always going in there and trying something new or researching something or trying to figure something out.
I Googled this thing the other day. Hey, I'm a stupid golfer. I swing outside in. I know better. Why am I doing this? I mean, you can say
what
that.
What did they say?
Yeah, they said I'm a stupid person. You know, you have to put your elbow. I said, I know all that. But, you know, there's something about it, Paula, that is, you know, it comes across to me somebody differently and somebody teaching, you know, saying it to me, right? I mean, you know, we all basically don't want to be told what to do. But with AI, it seems different. You know what I mean?
It's like your secret little space. You can ask it any questions, right? And I think it, you know, you think about all sorts of things that we don't necessarily get taught as we're growing up. And anyone, whether you have a degree or no degree, can go in there and learn if you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, isn't it difficult sometimes to ask questions when you think you're dumb or you're stupid or you don't, you know, why are you even asking me that, Barry? I thought you were a bright guy. Well, with AI, it's different, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can be honest with my question, a little bit more honest and a little bit more introspective than I can with you or anybody, right? I might not say to you, hey, Paul, I'm a dumb guy. You know what I mean? But on AI, I can say those things and get away with it. And it's pretty cool. I love it.
Me too. So, you know, good leadership, I think, are people that are curious. And you are absolutely curious. How have you stayed curious throughout time?
I think that's what you do to stay on top of the stay on top. I mean, we're in a world that changes really fast. And I don't want to be left behind, Paula. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that, hey, I had that experience. Hey, I've been through that. You know, sure I have. But you know, Paula, the world changes and circumstances changes. And I want to be relevant. You know what I mean? I want to be relevant. I don't want to be a guy that's out of touch with people or process or I don't want to do that. So I come to work every day and I show up every day and I put my work clothes on and I go to work. And I think when you're learning something, when you're not, you know, sometimes the tendency is you get older. Well, I've been there. I've done that. Oh, I've done. Oh, yeah, you did that. Well, sure, I've done that. But, you know, Paula, things have changed. And I want to be relevant. And what I have found that when I hang around with people who are like me, Paula, and who think like me, I think that's the key, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I do.
When you're around people who, like you and I, we have a lifelong friendship. I don't know how many hours and times and things have you and I spent together. Why is that? Because you're curious. I'm curious. What about this? Have we tried this? What about? And I think that's what you stay relevant. And I just pray to God that I never, ever lose that, you know, that desire to be relevant, to stay on top, to be able to be in a conversation and things like that. And I do my darndest to try to do that.
Me too. That's what we have in common. Another area that you have really led in is culture and people. You've created that culture. You've maintained that culture at Guild. What does a people-first culture really mean to you?
I think when you have a culture, which we have at Guild, you hire to that culture, you manage to that culture, you fire people from that culture. You know, Paula, everybody, Guild's a great company. But it's not for everybody. It isn't. Doesn't mean they're bad or good. It just doesn't mean that, hey, our culture doesn't fit you.
Right.
And it isn't like we're superior in that. We're innovative. We're very collaborative. We're very straightforward people. We like each other and we love to work together. That's true. And when you have a culture like that, people join a culture like that. And I think it's up to top management to kind of keep that culture alive. You know what I mean? I've always told people that you have to fight for your culture. You know, you really do. You know, if culture is one of those things, if I look back, Paula, and I say, what's been one of the keys to Guild success, I would put culture almost at the top. In that world, I mean, we're good at a lot of things and we do a lot of things, but what is it that how long have we all worked together? How long have we played together? We smoked cigars together. We've had old fashioned. I mean, why? We like each other. And when you bring people in and they see that, they like it and some like it and some don't want any part of it. And so I think it's up to us as managers to separate people who don't like it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean just like you don't fit. And so I think that when you look to build a team or build a company or whatever you do, culture is that guiding principle that makes a difference. And I would argue that over Guild's tenure, it's been the culture, it's been the one consistent that we've had that I think has enabled us to grow and prosper and like each other and have fun and make money and do those things. And I think that's really important, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, business comes and goes. And mortgages are mortgages. They're fun, but really? You know what I mean? But people are fun. You're fun. And if we have a culture where we both can build freedom, but I see, what is it that one thing that Guild, you know, I thought about this a lot. What is that one thing that culture and the guild. And I would say we're extremely collaborative. Mm-hmm. You know, above more than anything I've ever seen. We share ideas together. We help people other. We just have that innate thing of serving one another. And I think that started with Terry and Marianne a long time ago. And they had that culture. They brought it down. And, you know, I had that culture. You had that culture. And what a journey Guild has been. What an incredible journey. But I think it's that one thing. And I don't know whether it's just collaborative. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that's been a big, big part of that. And I think when you don't have a lot of these things, you stick out of Guild, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's for everybody.
I think, too, what they did was they opened the door for that collaboration. They opened the door for people to bring up their ideas, you know, and that's what's really made us better because they listen, right? They listen to the sales, right. They listen to their managers, they listen to their regionals, and they're on the ground. They know what's going on. And that's what continues to make us better as a company.
Yeah, true factor. We just don't, it's not one of those things you ever make though. You know what I mean? You have to live that every day because I think cultures come and go. Yep. I've seen companies, you know, that where a leader will leave and the culture is different. And I think our culture is pretty down leveled, right? In other words, I don't think our culture is carried by David and Terry, you know.
Everybody.
I mean, it's carried by all of us. They're a part of it, but yet, you know what I mean? I think the thing that got Guild that I like, it's permeated down to the, you know, to the mid man and to the people level where people will say, man, I like being here. I like the culture.
I agree. So what's one thing you've, like, if you were to coach managers, what's the one thing you've learned about people that you'd want to coach them around?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, Paula, I think people are driven by needs. They're driven by emotions. And they're driven by past experiences. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I think when you're dealing with people, if I call you, Paula, and it's 3 days before the end of the month, and I asked you something, you're gonna be in that, you know, mode of, hey, it's the month is in, they got to get a bit, you know what I mean? And I think you have to understand that where people are when you're dealing with them. You know what I mean? You have to understand, first of all, what their past experiences are. You know, we've hired people that don't trust managers. You know, I mean, and I think we all, Way and Paula, have this kind of flight for safety mentality. You know what I mean? I mean, we all, and at the end of the day, we want to be safe or we want to be in safe, right? So when you ask me something, sometimes I'll respond, you know, from past experiences to make me safe or emotions. And I think people are people and you have to trust them that, and you have to get to know them is what I'm saying. Because if you just go in and you sample one little thing, it could be that they had a bad day, someone died in there. I mean, you just, people, I mean, think of this, the stuff that happens to us all day long. And when you go in and I try to interact with you, you can't just take one situation and apply it to the way you are always, right?
Yeah, you can't label people just based on one.
No, you can't label people. You gotta trust people and you have to say, hey, look, you know, are you okay? You know, what's going on? And you know what I mean? You have to be real.
Uh-huh.
And I think people today can sort out real from unreal. Don't you? You know what I mean? I mean, there are people, Paula, that ask me, how you are, Barry? And, you know, I know it's a check mark, but there are people that say, how are you, Barry? You know, how's going on? And I think as a manager, as a people person, you have to give people a chance. You have to trust. You have to learn to trust people. You have to learn to be straightforward to people. A lot of people say, you know, I don't know that I can be straightforward. I don't believe that. I think you can tell people the way it is. And, hey, I'm a manager. I'm trying to get this done. And, you know, somehow, you know, I feel you, you know, are you with me? You know what I mean? There's a talk track that you get with people where you can bring things out in people because they trust you and believe in you. But I see a lot of managers, well, I talked to that person, I had an interaction, bad person. You know, you label somebody prematurely. And I think that's a big mistake we all make. Before I get to know you, Paula, and before I get, if I just, you know, try to make a judgment of, hey, this is Paula, this is the way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I might misread it because at the point in time, you made a decision, you're in an emotional state or past experience, or you needed something right away. And I just tell managers, take your time, you know, give people a break.
Right. I agree 100%.
Trust.
Yeah, because there's things that are happening in people's lives all the time. And if we don't get in, we don't take the time to get to know people, we don't understand what's going on. Right.
Yeah. Let me give you an example of recent. My wife, she goes down to Matt Talbert, which is Drug Rehabilitation Center, and she volunteers, right?
Uh-huh.
So she goes down to this place. Now, you would think this is a drug rehabilitation center. So there's a guy down there. And one day he comes up to my wife and he said, hey, man, I really appreciate what you're doing for us. You bring food, you do this and things like that. Now, we could label that person as a drug addict. He's in a drug rehabilitation center. But you know what he said? He said, I was in a car accident. My wife and three of my kids were killed, and I went off on drugs and alcohol. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we think that person could be a druggie because he's in a drug rehabilitation center, and he had all his family killed in automobile accidents. And there was a story that came out about it later. See what I'm saying? And I'm just saying you gotta trust people a little
bit.
You
gotta get deeper with people, which is something you've always done, which I
appreciate. Right.
So, all right, we got to get to a little golf here.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
What has golf taught you in leadership?
Well, you know, golf is an independent, you know, it's an individual game. You know, we go out there and we play our individual game. And yet we like the game of golf for other reasons. It's social. We spend time with people. Yes. And I think a leader needs to worry about their game, not everybody else's game. In other words, Paula, how is your game? How are you doing? Are you doing what you say, or are you just preaching and telling everybody how to live their life? And I think leader needs to work on themselves. They need to, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I think in the game of golf, you know, I could play it, but I have to worry about my game. You know what I mean? And I think you have to take care of yourself. In business, you have to feel good about yourself. You have to be a learner. You have to do that. And I think that's what golf is, because I can't play from watching you, and I can't be part of the golf crowd if I don't have a game. And I think that's a leader needs to have a game. You need to have a game. You need to be good. You need to experience the same up and down and in and out as everybody else. How could you relate to somebody if you don't walk their talk? And I think as a leader, you have responsibility for upping your game more so than anybody else. And I think that's a game of golf, right? You know, you've got to work on your own game, but yet we play it because we like it. It's social, it's fun, and doing things at that. But I think a leader needs to be responsible for his work in his own game.
Yeah, what I love about it too is it challenges your mind. You know what I mean, it's a fun game. You're out. It's physical. You're with people. But when you hit a bad shot, right? How do you recover from that and not go down? And it's the same thing in business, right? We have different times in the market where it takes a strong mindset to get through things, right? And not to worry about, or you have a bad month in the industry, right? And
yeah.
Start over. So how are you going to start that month over? It starts with your mindset.
You know, I have a little devotional I do every morning when I get up. You know, I read a thing in the Bible or I do something. And I say to myself, hey, I had a good night's sleep. I mean, I always try to be thankful. Hey, I woke up this morning. How about that? That's a good deal. And I got out of bed, you know, I'm healthy, I'm happy. And now I'm going to go into my day. I want to have a good day. I want to meet with people. And I think when you self-talk positivity into your life early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
But if you wait to have circumstances run your day, it's a miserable life, isn't it?
Miserable.
We used to have a saying, shit happens, and it does.
Uh-huh.
You know, you almost, isn't it true, Paula, sometimes you expect things, hey, they don't go right. They don't. Guess what? They don't go right. But I think if you are positive, I mean, literally say positive things in the morning. It's going to be a great day. I'm going to meet somebody. I'm going to play golf with Paula. I love her. She's a spirit of mine. You know what I mean? And when you're with those, when you have that mentality, you know, it really helps you get through the day. Because if we all live on circumstances, it wouldn't be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I do the same thing in the morning. And I just expect to have a good day, right?
I do too.
Things are going to be great today. We're going to get some wins. And you know, things are going to go off track sometimes, but I'd rather start that way, being positive, than being in fear of what's going to happen today, right? And I think a lot of people do that.
I think in this market, Paula, the one thing that we've got to get out of is fear. Fear of losing, fear of not getting a loan, fear of not having a realtor come back to you, fear of the market going tanking on you. I mean, there's so much fear out there that you can just get enveloped by that. And so I don't know, Paul. I mean, what I try to do is I think positively overcomes that. In other words, I think consciously I to say it will not fear. It's easier for me to say I'm going to be positive than I'll say, if you say I'm not going to be fearful. The old saying, if you don't want to think about something else, I think is true. And when you think about being positive, you think about, I'm going to have a good day. I really am. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to see people. I'm going to do things. Man, I'm going to run into things today. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, when you say, I can walk in and out of the Starbucks and I can walk in and out, but you go in. And you know, in the Starbucks at Gwen, you know, everybody says, hey, Barry, how you doing? You know why? Because I have a relationship with them. I mean, I don't just go in and out of buildings. I don't just go in and out of stuff. I try to touch people. Not because I'm trying to change them. I think it helps me. Uh-huh. I mean, selfishly, honestly, it bolsters my enthusiasm for life and what I like to do and what I like to say. It's a fun life, Paula. Come on. We're in the mortgage industry. We do well. We have people around us that are helping us. I mean, there's a whole lot of 99 things to say positive. And hey, it's a crappy market. Who cares? But I'm a good person. You know what I mean?
There's always opportunity in every market.
Absolutely.
Right? You just have to choose to find it.
Yeah.
So we all know you love a good cigar. So tell us, after a big win, or maybe after a sales rally or a president's club, it's nighttime, you're going out to have a cigar. What's your favorite cigar?
Probably Macanudo or Astro Evente. I like those two. Macanudo is a great cigar. I do like a good cigar, by the way. I do like a good cigar after things. And you know why part of that, Paul, is it's fun. You know, either people, you know, the old saying that, sometimes when I used to travel, I'd find myself in cities and, you know, no real people. It's late at night and I'd go to the cigar bar. You know what? 20 minutes later, you have five good friends you've never met before. There just seems to be something about it. So if I could do what I'd want, I'd love to make a list of all the people I like to play golf with. Think about it. If you had their ideal foursome, or if you had somebody you really like to go out
there. Who would that be?
For me?
Yeah.
Easy. I'd have Donald Trump, because I'll know of a more courageous man. Whether you like him, whether you don't, all I'm saying is there a more courageous person out there I don't think I've ever met. I'd like to have Jocko Willmott, you know, that famous SEAL.
Yep.
Because life is teamwork. How would you step in? Would you step in front of me for a bullet, Paul? If somebody, they would.
They would
step in front of somebody for, how do you do, what, really? And so I like to just ask him about that, how they teach that. And then I think Michael Jordan I've always felt he's the ultimate competitor, Paula.
Yeah,
in basketball.
I would too.
And say, Michael, really, how, you know, what's your, you know, he's just competitive. And so that would be fun. Wouldn't that be fun to get those kind of people and just kind of talk to them about life? That'd be great.
All right. Here's our last question. If you could give a piece of advice to someone building something designed to last, what would it be?
Okay. Two words come to mind. Paula, unity wrecks things. Unity wrecks couples. It ranks. The lack of unity will wreck a business faster than any other thing. So if you want to build a business, you need to make sure that people, you have unity in that organization. Now, unity is not agreeing all together on the same thing, because there's another part of unity that makes unity work, and that's trust. If you trust me, Paula, and you can say, hey, I see your point of view. I don't agree with that point of view, Paula, But here's what I'd like to do. In other words, if you trust my trust me, I'm pretty much able to business isn't hard, by the way, right? Business, it's just making decisions. Hope you'll make more right ones or wrong. People are hard. So if people trust you and they feel you've got my back, I've got your back, Barry's a good guy. I can trust Barry. I may not always agree with him, but I can trust him. That'll build unity. And I think on any team and without guilt, trust starts at the branch level and it kind of goes all the way up through. I mean, you can't trust, you know, a CEO. I mean, you can trust a CEO, but you don't have that much. People trust their managers. Managers trust their managers. And they go, and when you have trust, you can have differences, you can have disagreements, you can have that, but it will build unity because the lack of unity is a bad deal. And I think people always attribute unity to saying the right thing or, hey, it's not agreeing on everything, Paula. It's not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's building unity requires trust. And once somebody trusts you, you can go any direction you want. You can have a lot of fun.
I agree. That's just the same thing as teamwork, right? It's just
same thing.
Unity, teamwork. You don't always agree, but you respect one another to listen, right? And you listen. I think that's another big thing is listening to the people on your team because sometimes you have blind spots, right? And it's good to hear other people's ideas and their vision.
I had, I'm chairman of the trustees of a college here in Bellevue. And we had a situation where we had to challenge some leadership and they did a survey and the leader scored himself on all the categories and then everybody scored themselves. And there was one thing listening where the leader scored himself a 5 and everybody else scored him a 2. You know what I mean? He thinks he's a 5. They think he's a 2. Now, it doesn't work, does it?
A little lack of self-awareness.
Exactly right. And maybe, Paula, that's something we could end on. Just isn't it great to be self-aware of yourself? It is to look at yourself and say, hey, I'm not perfect. I do this, you know, I do that. And it's like to go in a room and be self-aware of what the people in thinking are. There are people who go into a room and they don't know where what everybody's thinking. And they're way off deal. And I think the ability to be self-aware of yourself, know your capabilities, know your strengths, know when you're messed up, know when you're not good at it. You know, when we grew up, people used to say, hey, when you find something you're not good at, we'll work on it. And I think you go with your strengths. In other words, you go, you know, I'm not good at everything, but I know what I'm good at versus what I'm not. And you can either have somebody to do it or things like that. So I do think being self-aware is pretty key to be up there, right?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I love our time together, all our conversations, and we so appreciate you at Guild.
I thank you for what you've done for Elevate. You've been a good friend. You're a lifelong friend. You know, friends are friend forever, Paula, right? So we've had a good friendship, and I hope it continues to good. And thanks for the opportunity to spend some time with you.
Thanks for listening to Elevate Your Business, a podcast from Elevate, the internal coaching program at Go Mortgage. Glad you could be here for today's playbook. If you want to check us out, head over to gilmortgage.com and click About Us to find Elevate Coaching. Have a question or want to keep the play going? Visit us and send a DM on Instagram at Elevate Mortgage Coaching or leave a comment for us on YouTube. We're posting extra content, behind-the-scenes action, and everything you need to stay in the mortgage game. On Elevate Your Business, we share real stories and strategies from top producers to help you move forward. So ask yourself, what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate.
Guild Mortgage Company, NMLS identification number 3274, NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Equal housing opportunity, equal opportunity employer. Arizona banking license number 0018883. Licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC3274. Licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance. Licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Nevada mortgage company number 1141. Oregon mortgage lending number NL176. Rhode Island licensed lender and third-party loan servicer. Guild Mortgage Company, 5887 Copley Drive, San Diego, California, 92111. For licensing, visit guildmortgage.com/licensing. All loans subject to underwriter approval. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to change without notice. Elevate is an internal Guild Mortgage Company coaching program and not a separate entity. Podcast content is provided for informational purposes and based on publicly available materials or tactics used in the industry. The views, strategies, or opinions discussed do not necessarily represent those of Guild Mortgage Company or its affiliates. Intended for mortgage industry professionals only.
Paula Nurschel, NMLS number 383396. Thank you for joining us on Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals brought to you by Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage.